the number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quicken Loans studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, glad you've been with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. I'm Tony D, taking you through the night tonight on a day with really, really big news out of the NBA. Kevin Durant's going to Golden State to form a big super team. Now it's a big four. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and now Kevin Durant. I just think this is going to be must-see television just to see how good they could possibly be, but I just don't like it. I just don't like a superstar doing this. But I understand why. 800-777-2907. Adam's News of the Night coming up in this hour, as well as our Major League Baseball wrap-up. This has been pretty much the dominating news of the day. For July 4th to just sort of people sort of enjoy the holiday hanging out, this was kind of a big blow. This was a blockbuster. They're already burning the jerseys of Kevin Durant, at least some people are, out in Oklahoma City. Look, a couple of observations on how this news broke. One, I think it's a big surprise. I know maybe some people closer to the situation may have gotten wind of this, or maybe have felt early in free agency that this was a possibility. I never thought it was going to be a possibility. I kind of entertained it because that's where people were angling. Like, oh, you could go to Golden State, or you could go to San Antonio, or like people were kind of angling it like it was a possibility. But in the end, I thought he's going to end up in Oklahoma City. That's where he's going to be. It offers him a better money package later on. It offers him a chance to win a championship because he was close. They were close. But this was a move by Durant to try to win titles and get that out of the way from his career. Win as many as you can, but really get it off the plate. The pressure to winning a championship is always great on athletes, especially star athletes. And I think he felt like the need to go. Second of all, and I know we've talked about this a couple of times because a couple of athletes have taken this method of getting their message out. Kevin Durant wrote on Derek Jeter's website, the Players Tribune, which when this launched, I thought this could be a game changer. And it turned out to be correct. Not a lot of the things I ever think about are correct. But I thought this was a really good idea. When Derek Jeter, his company, put this together, the idea behind it was athletes wanted to be able to deliver a message that was unfiltered through the media. They wanted to be able to say exactly what was on their mind. You know, LeBron used Sports Illustrated to write his letter in returning to Cleveland. Durant used the Players Tribune. A couple of other athletes have done this where they tell their side of the story using that website. But I think this, as I said before, this is a real game changer. Because no longer is the media kind of controlling the message anymore. What's happening is players are starting to control the message. A couple of things about Durant's letter about why he wanted to leave don't really sit well with me, because I know that these get written sometimes with a lot of PR help, and a lot of times you're just trying to put lipstick on a pig, and a lot of times you're trying to make something you're trying to make something larger than it really is. Durant talked about wanting to go someplace where he was out of his comfort zone. I've never heard this before, and I don't even know what that means. So you're going to go to another team because maybe you were just getting too comfortable in Oklahoma City? Like, that's the reason? And also, he started talking about wanting to go to a place that would challenge him in personal growth. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? These are not legitimate reasons why you went to Golden State. This is now toying with an emotion of a fan base. And while it seems sincere because there's a lot of real big ideas behind it and big thought behind it, this is actually rather insulting to the people of Oklahoma City. You're better off just telling them, look, Russell's getting out of here. I want a championship. We ain't winning it here anytime soon, so thanks for everything. I'm leaving. As callous as that sounds, it's better than, After deep soul searching, I've decided that the best place for me for personal growth is no personal growth. You know what you wanted? You wanted personal growth on your ring finger. That's what you wanted. You wanted rings. There's nothing wrong with rings. What they're, you know, don't toy with the idea that this was all about personal development. Stop it. You're almost 30 years old. What are you doing? You want to go for personal growth? Quit basketball and have wells dug in Africa. You want to quit basketball and be a world ambassador. Quit basketball and go to, you know, Bangladesh and help them out. Use your fame to change the globe. Right? Those are the kind of things when you talk about people who say, I want personal growth. That people are outside my comfort zone. That's when people go, I quit my job and I went to help orphans in Haiti. I quit my job and I went to India to help the poor. I quit my job and I did missionary work or something. It's something along that line. They didn't go to Golden State to go win rings. That wasn't a personal growth thing. But the idea that you have to get out of your comfort zone, getting out of your comfort zone would actually be staying in Oklahoma City when Russell Westbrook decides to leave and growing that to a Western Conference power. Excuse me, doesn't that sound like out of your comfort zone? Wouldn't that be kind of something out of your comfort zone? Like, oh my God, we lost the second superstar on this team. I guess I better start recruiting players to come here. I don't mean to be mean with this, but going to Oklahoma, going to Golden State with three other mega stars, that seems very comfortable to me. Going to my, what? Oh, I only have to play 18 minutes a night now. I could actually take a week off and no one would miss me. I don't even have to score and they won't miss me. That's out of your comfort zone? Yeah, out of your comfort zone would be when you're averaging 16 points a game. That would be out of your comfort zone. Out of your comfort zone is when Golden State has got four guys all averaging 20 points a contest. That's out of your comfort zone. He said, I'm from Washington, D.C. originally, but Oklahoma City truly raised me. I thought that was fine. That's a great thing to say. It taught me so much about my family as well as what it means to be a man. There are no words to express what the organization and the community means to me. Good stuff. That's what they'll represent in my life and my heart forever. Again, this is all I'm sure they like reading this. Well, they lighten your jersey on fire. Memories and friendships are something that go far beyond the game. Those invaluable relationships are what made this deliberation so challenging, but not too challenging. It really pains me to know I'll disappoint so many people with this choice, but I believe I'm doing what I feel is the right thing at this point in my life and playing career. Good. Yeah, that's actually well said. No, I know people are going to be hurt by this. It bothers me, but this is what I'm going to do. Good. Hey, you know what? At least you took your message to the players union and you didn't go on national television and say, I'm taking my talents to Oakland. Well, Oklahoma City goes, I think he's going to sign with us. I swear. I don't know why he's going to be on TV. I think he's going to be all signed with us. Kick the city while it's down. Steven on Twitter. We've seen this before. Superstars sometimes clash. Do you see that happening with Durant and the Warriors stars? You know what? I'm going to wait and see, Steven. I'm going to wait and see. I had to ask this of Ray Woodson, our last guest, an hour or two, because you know what? Look, you don't necessarily need to be buddies. You don't necessarily need to be best friends like LeBron, Bosh, and Wade were, but you do need to get along. You do need to get along to make it work. Because it's got, look, somebody's losing points, all right, in this deal, all right? Let me be more frank than that, okay? Somebody's losing MVP awards, okay? Right? Because unless one guy wants to score 37 points a game and leave the other guy scoring 8 or 9 or 10, all right, then somebody's losing MVP awards. It may not matter, but you know how sometimes it matters. Durant may go there and go, my God, man, I get the ball once every five possessions to do something with it. Maybe he's the go-to guy. Maybe Steph goes, I don't need to score this many points. I'll knock down a couple of threes and I'll sit down for the rest of the game. I don't know how this is going to work. There's only so many points to go around. And here's the other thing, and you know everybody's lying when it was like, no, it's okay. It'll be fine. All we care about is winning. Okay. Wait till you're averaging 8 points a night. Then we'll see. Wait till Under Armour or whoever is knocking on your door going, hey, wait a minute. You're playing like 25 minutes a game, averaging 8 points and three rebounds because everybody else is getting theirs. Yeah, this may not work. I don't know. But it's certainly going to be fun to watch, that's for sure. Adam's News of the Night's coming up next on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Again, happy 4th. I hope you all had a good 4th of July, a safe 4th of July. We are back, and now that music means we're back even more with Adam's News of the Night. This is where we go beyond the headlines, tell you what's kind of going on in the strange world that we live in. All right, Adam, story number one.
Story number one comes from Steven in Ohio. Send it on Twitter.
Very nice. Thank you, Steven.
This comes from a former town you lived in Denver.
Now, oh, very good.
Did your son, was he in Cub Scouts or anything like that?
No, he was not. I wanted him to be, but he was not.
Okay, so this has to do with the Cub Scouts and a sponsor of the Cub Scouts. Their sponsor, or one of their sponsors, was Hooters. Is this appropriate for 6 and 7 year old boys to have one of their sponsors be a restaurant known for women with larger breasts?
Yeah.
Is the nice way I'm going to put it?
Oh, I can see where this is going, right?
Yeah, so moms didn't know about this. Nobody knew about this. They were a sponsor. They approached the Cub Scout group about becoming a sponsor and being part of a camp that was upcoming, like a 3-day camp.
Right,
so
okay.
They would send 3 girls every day to help out, just be counselors and, you know, do different activities with the kids and have fun with them throughout the camp. Nothing harmful, nothing, you know,
no,
crazy.
Okay. But parents went crazy
but
over this.
They were wearing Hooters shirts and visors, but not like the Hooters tank tops you see that they work
yeah,
in.
Yeah, okay, good.
Just t-shirts.
At least somebody was cognizant of that. At least somebody was trying Correct. To do something with that.
But moms lost their mind when they found out about this. So they said they were very disappointed. They believe in what the Cub Scouts do overall, but they made a very poor choice. And I just wanted to take you're a father. I'm a father. I have to almost disagree with the moms here that if the group is getting money and getting support to keep going, as long as nothing wrong is going on, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, this is kind of a weird situation, because I think in the end, you need funds, and sometimes people just don't pony up, and then you find somebody to pony up. You just got to you really want the money, and you're willing to just say, "Hey, look, what's it going to take?" But I can I can understand the mothers going.
I can too.
Yeah, but because let's be honest, that place is it's got great food if you like the food, but it's. That's not the selling point. I don't know how nice to put it.
Put it this way.
Think they would agree with that, right? I think they would agree with that. Yes, the selling point is coming in and the girls are pretty.
I have a Hooters in the town I live in near Houston. And if my sons, when they grow up in 5 years, if their baseball team was, you know, sponsored by Hooters and we got, you know, trips to Hooters after the games, I'm not going to be mad. I don't
know. I did remotes at Hooters when I was a local guy in Colorado Springs for a number of years. And there were families that would come in all the time. There were teams that would come in all the time. And I'd kind of go, wow, that's a little interesting. But after a while, I just went, all right, this is fine.
I think it's more the perception of what Hooters is than really what it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a place where you go in. Now, I will say there are other restaurants, say like Tilted Kilt up north, and What's the one down here?
I've done most of those establishments. Yeah,
Twin Peaks is down here. Those are different because they are dressed completely different than Hooters.
I agree.
That would be different to me. Whereas Hooters has become more of a family place.
It's not a topless bar. I mean, it's not, you know, this.
I just thought it was interesting.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
All right. Story number two.
Story number two is a cool kind of goes with 4th of July. An Army vet who used a .22 caliber rifle to help. He shot 150 shots at a branch 70 feet up in the air to help free a bald eagle that had a rope attached to his leg, and rope had got stuck in the branch.
Wow, and he's a sharpshooter, I'm thinking?
Yes, he was a sharpshooter.
Knocked this thing. That's great.
He borrowed a gun from a friend that had a good sight on it.
Please do not tell me this ends terribly.
No. He spent 90 minutes shooting at the branch, you know, very close. He was worried he was going to shoot the bird. He never shot the bird once. Was able to basically break the branch with the bullets over a course of an hour and a half. The bird had been stuck for 2 days. When they called for help, everybody said, "We know it's there. There's nothing we can do about it," which I find very interesting.
That is true, yes.
So he spent an hour and a half shooting 150 rounds at the branch, broke the branch. The branch fell, and they had cushioned it, and they got the bird to a veterinarian hospital, and the bird's doing good and will be released at its earliest convenience.
And you said this was a bald eagle?
Yes.
Okay, so let me get this straight. A military vet, sharpshooter, 150 rounds, freeing a bald eagle. I don't think it gets any more American than that.
That's the most patriotic thing.
This is one of the
outside of serving your country.
This is one of the most incredibly American-based stories that we had. I mean, that's great.
I saw this on Good Morning America. My wife was watching it this morning, and I saw this, and I'm like, well, this just fits perfect.
Freeing a bald eagle, nonetheless. I don't think I've ever seen a bald eagle in the wild before, let alone trapped in a tree on rope.
This was in Minnesota.
Wow, good for him. That's great. I don't know, man. That feels like a fantastic story.
Yeah, and it just the timing of it.
Of course.
It is. It's outside of...
That is great. All right, now I feel good. Do we have a quick story number three?
Yeah, quick story number three. A dad being dumb in Florida, of course.
Yeah.
Dropped his phone as he was trying to, you know, the Facebook Live thing you can do now?
Yeah,
take a video and it's
some
live.
Some days I want to try it, then I realize I'm fat.
Well, a dad was using his phone to try and Facebook Live a video of an alligator.
An eight-foot alligator.
As he did it, he dropped his phone, and it bounced off and bounced towards the alligator, was near the alligator. Well, the mom said, just leave it alone. Just, you know, we'll get a new phone. Don't worry about it.
He's like, I'm not having any of this. I'm going to get that thing.
Yes. Now, he didn't go down to get it. He was reaching for it. He was trying to use a stick to move it away from the alligator. Well, the alligator kept going at it. This drew a crowd. A crowd surrounded him as he's trying to get this phone. And all because it was because his 10-month-old baby, all the pictures were on the phone. Since the baby was born.
So he was trying to save the pictures.
Now, I don't know. I have an iPhone. This was an iPhone. You have the cloud. You're supposed to back up your phone.
You can go get those phones. Yes.
So I don't know if he hadn't done that or what. He spent over an hour trying to get this phone with the alligator chasing the phone, chasing the stick, biting every stick that he put down there, hissing, growling, they said. And best part of this story, he gets the phone back. Nobody gets hurt. It doesn't turn on because it got too wet.
Ah, nice.
But I just don't understand with all the stories.
That's too bad because I was hoping you were going to say it was Facebook Lived the whole time.
Oh, that would have been great.
And people who were just happening to tune in saw a man versus alligator over iPhone fight.
I just don't get why people keep messing with alligators.
They're taking over the world.
You just saw what happened.
They have united. They have had a meeting. They are now slowly taking over the world. Everybody leave
them alone.
I
saw another really big one caught in Florida over the weekend.
Leave them alone. All right. Major League Baseball wrap up next.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
that music means we're going around Major League Baseball for your 4th of July, a celebration of America's pastime. Tell you what happened around Major League Baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers beat the Washington Nationals by a score of 1-0. Martin Maldonado with a home run. That was the only run of the game. Is he any relation to Candy Maldonado?
I don't know. I'd have to check that out.
That's a good question. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Max Scherzer took the loss. He goes to 9-6. And all right, there you go. The Tampa Bay Rays get home runs from Logan Morrison and Brad Miller as they go on and beat the LA Angels by a score of 4-2. The Rays don't win much, but they've won over the last couple, and they had a good little streak going. They go back, and this breaks a 4-game losing skid for them. This was an interesting game tonight in Boston at Fenway Park. The Red Sox beat the Texas Rangers 12-5. Everybody in the lineup had a hit for the Red Sox. They had 21 overall and 4 home runs. This was like batting practice today for the Boston Red Sox. Dustin Pedroia homered. Brock Holt homered. Mookie Betts homered. And Travis Shaw homered for the Red Sox. This was batting practice. 21 hits. That's incredible. And everyone in the lineup had a hit. The Chicago White Sox, an 8-2 victory over the New York Yankees. Chase Headley had a 2-run homer for the Yankees. That was their only runs. Tim Anderson and Navarro had home runs for the White Sox in their win. They've won, what, 3 in a row?
Yes, 3 in a row.
Yeah, 3 in a row. Good for them. CeCe Sabathia took the loss. James Shields with the win. He's 4-9. He's 2-2, though, with the White Sox, James Shields. Not bad? Or is he?
He was really bad the first 3 starts, like really, really bad, like a 21 ERA. Good. And he's been really good his last few starts.
Yeah,
so.
This was a good outing for him.
Yeah.
The Oakland A's beat the Minnesota Twins by a score of 3-1. Coco Crisp had an RBI in this one for the A's, who scored all of their runs in the 7th inning. The Houston Astros beat Seattle 2-1. The Astros are rolling along. They won 5 of their last 7. George Springer hit his 19th home run of the year. Lance McCullers struck out 10 in his outing. Astros win again. Couldn't beat the White Sox in their series, but they've now won 5 of 7.
They beat them when I went.
I know.
Of course.
Gregory Polanco homered twice for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They beat St. Louis 4-2. St. Louis has had really good success against the Pirates this year, so this is a good win for Pittsburgh to reverse that just a little bit. Jonathan Neese picks up the win. He's 7-6, and Carlos Martinez with a loss for St. Louis, who's, again, just kind of a couple of games hovering above 500. Nothing too splashy. The Cubs beat the Cincinnati Reds 10-4. Chris Bryant hit his 24th home run of the year, but left the game injured. I think he ran into somebody.
Yeah,
right?
Him and Albert Almora collided.
Yeah, collided, and Bryant left the game.
Supposed to be fine.
Contreras and Russell.
Supposed to be fine and
should
be
that.
In the lineup tomorrow.
Contreras and Russell added home runs for the Cubs. Kyle Hendricks got the win. He's 7-6. Zach Cozart with a home run for the Reds, his 12th of the season. Philadelphia scored 7 runs in the 2nd inning. That was more than enough to beat the Atlanta Braves 8-2. Eric Ibar homered for Atlanta. Mikel Franco with a home run, his 15th of the year for Philadelphia. The San Francisco Giants beat the Colorado Rockies 3-1. Angel Pagan homered, so did Buster Posey, as they go on to beat the Rockies. The Mets scored 2 in the 6th, 2 more in the 7th, 2 more in the 8th. They went on to beat the Miami Marlins 8-6, rallying for those runs. Teams combined for 30 hits in this one. Travis d'Arnaud homered for the Mets. Curtis Granderson did the same. Yoenis Cespedes had an RBI double. The Toronto Blue Jays scored 5 runs in the 7th inning, and they beat Kansas City 6-2. Eric Hosmer and Kendrys Morales did homer for Kansas City in the loss, both solo shots. Cleveland beat Detroit 5-3. Listen, this is what, 10 in a row against the Tigers this season? They've won all 10 games against the Tigers.
Yes.
The Indians are real, man. They are for real. I got to start paying attention. Mike Napoli homered for the Indians, his 17th of the year. Good for them. Good for them. The LA Dodgers beat Baltimore 7-5. Yasiel Puig with his 7th home run of the year. And can't quite get that one down. All right, so that's 7-5. And the San Diego Padres with an 8-4 victory over the Arizona Diamondbacks. Bud Norris homered his 11th of the season. So there you go.
I don't know if you noticed over the weekend or if you paid attention to baseball much. There's a lot of teams that put up double-digit runs.
I saw a lot, like on my app. I have a baseball app on my phone, and I every now and then I check it during the holiday, you know, just to see what's going on. And I did see a lot of scoring this week.
Yes, the Red Sox lost 21-2.
I did see that.
The Indians lost to the Blue Jays 17-1. And I'm pretty sure I saw, I believe it was seven. There was seven position players that pitched over the weekend because
really?
Their teams were either blowing them out or getting blown out.
Is that... That's kind of ridiculous.
Seven in one weekend is crazy.
All right, it's not like there was snow. Or is,
right.
Like, it's just, like, this is silly. Like play some smart baseball. What's going on with the sport? That's a little too much. But, yeah, I saw some of them. Someone would just pop up, like, on the app. It'll just be like, look at this score. And you'd be like, wow.
Yeah, the Angels put up 21 on the Red Sox.
Yeah, the Blue Jays put up against the Indians, right? The 17-1.
Yes.
Was it the Blue Jays who did that?
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a crazy time.
There was two players that all went 6-for-6. C.J. Cron of the Angels,
yes,
in that 21-2 game. And Wilmer Flores against the Cubs went 6-for-6, and they both hit.
I had a friend of mine lamenting this on Facebook over the weekend, saying, this is crazy. Like, in the history of baseball, we don't
right.
see this.
And they both hit two home runs each.
Yeah. All of a sudden now, what is going on? Where is the solid pitching? Why are games like this? Why are batters like this? We've talked about it. The home runs are up.
Yeah.
And no one is going, hey, look, this is all steroids or anything like that. It's just, I don't know, maybe pitching. Is there, and I remember I asked this question last week, did something change, did something minute change in pitching that may have allowed this? Like, did the strike zone get altered or something like that, where pitchers have to be more careful so they're throwing up more pitches that can be easily hit? They're losing their ability to be craftsmen.
I mean,
on the mound.
I've watched a lot of baseball, and I, you know, daily I'm watching at least one game, if not a couple, and I don't see the strike zone changing. I mean,
I don't get that terrible
calls. And now next year, they're going to make it even worse on pitchers because they're supposed to raise the strike zone above the knee,
yeah.
And now it's below the knee.
That's
so
tiring.
It's going to be, it's just going to get smaller and easier for these hitters.
Yeah, so it's again, I think you're right. I think something's amiss.
Yes.
With that. So anyway, there's our wrap-up in Major League Baseball. Again, 800-777-2907. If you want to get your thoughts in on anything that went on over the weekend. Hey, if you even want to comment on the hot dog eating contest, feel free. What a mess that was. Joey Chestnut, 70 hot dogs. Come on, they throw that stuff off, right?
70 hot dogs.
Do they go in the back and just vomit all that stuff out? They have to, right? He's not keeping that
no.
in his belly. Like, I wanted to ask Matt Stoney, but I heard that this is something they don't talk about. So I probably should have thrown the question out there when I interviewed him and let him tell me he wasn't going to talk about
right.
it. But I hear they never talk about that.
Oh,
it's kind of like a trade secret. But I said, my son watched it with me today, and he looked at me and he was like, I don't know what to say. I'm watching this. He goes, I don't know what to say. I go, I know.
I saw a chart starting from, I believe it was 81 when this started. It was the winner, I think, ate 13.
Yeah, 13. They've been doing this for a while. They had like a history
70.
Of it. And apparently Nathan of Nathan's Hot Dog had gotten actors to dress up as doctors to eat hot dogs in front of his store so that people would go, hey, look, doctors are eating it. It must be good. And like he was always trying to promote Nathan's. And so he started with this hot dog eating contest, and you're right. Like the winner won, like ate like eight back, and then it was like 10. Then again, it was like 13. 70 is crazy. Like there is a point where I was watching it, going, why doesn't anybody choke? Like, I know they're good at what they do, but even professional athletes screw up. Why don't they choke? He's wolfing down these hot dogs as if they're nothing.
I heard one of the Shea brothers on Zabe the other day was talking about how that's the difference between them and other
yes.
eating contests, was they have doctors there that
yes.
make sure nobody chokes.
I made the mistake. I had one of them on years ago. I told him, I said, do you have any advice? We're having a wing eating contest. And he goes, no. He goes, unless it's a sanctioned event. He goes, we have doctors.
Right.
We have an ambulance on site. We take this seriously, man. We're just not wolfing down food. And I'm like, oh. Wow, that is a big deal. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio.
and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. As we've been cutting through the night here on July 4th, now into July 5th. Hope you had a great holiday weekend, however you enjoyed it. Our 800-777-2907. Once again, a reminder, and we are getting closer. Now we are 20 days away from the start of our countdown to kickoff NFL previews. A team a day for 32 shows right to the start of the season that starts July 25th. We're still taking votes on Twitter or our Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show. You can catch us there. We're taking votes on who we should do right out of the gate. My daughter, who's a Broncos fan, wanted us to do the Broncos last. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to do the Broncos last. We're going to do the Broncos whenever Adam sets the schedule. So she's like, oh, make sure they're last. I said, no.
That's not I'm how starting to work on it now.
Yeah, so... you got to go to our Facebook page and check it out. That's where the schedule will be every single week. We'll do it 5 days out. You'll be able to catch it and find out when we're doing your favorite team. And you can, we want you to participate in the conversation on every preview. But if you're just more focused on, oh, I'm a Raiders fan, that's what I like, or I'm a Cowboys fan, that's what I want. Now, well, you'll know the dates when we do them. We'll go over their schedules. We'll go over their, we'll have a guest for each team, break down their rosters, any of the issues that are surrounding each team. So it's really fun. We did it last year. It was just really, really, really good time. I really, really enjoyed it. So I'm really looking forward to that. Oh, guess what I got this weekend?
I got my
Phil Steele College Football Magazine.
Oh, yeah.
I was in Target, and they had it in Target, and I was like, I told my wife, I said, I got to pick this up. The problem is I don't have my hammock to read it. So I want to go outside and just lay in a hammock in the afternoon and just read the magazine, but I don't. I don't have a place I can go outside and just lounge. So I have to go buy a hammock or something to go sit out under the tree and read this magazine, or I'm just going to read it in the house.
I'm so ready for college football.
Oh, me too. Oh, I'm telling you. I had my first really good college football conversation in New Jersey since I lived here at my cousin's 4th of July party today. Actually spoke my cousins never not got into college football. They're from New Jersey. It's more of a Northeast thing. Rutgers is not very good. So they don't like talking. They like talking Giants. They like talking Jets and all that. But I had a really good SEC, Big Ten, Big 12 oriented college football conversation. I said, oh, thank God, because I didn't think I was going to get that in New Jersey. When I was introduced, my cousin was introducing me at a party, she kept telling everybody, oh, he does sports talk radio, so that naturally means people want to talk, right. They want to know about their team.
Yep.
And I always tell my wife, I said, I'd love to just go and say, like, I'm an accountant or a dentist, something respectable, but nobody really wants to talk to you. You know, like nobody really, like maybe a dentist would be a problem because people would say, well, my teeth hurt. Can you take a look at my teeth? And I'd be like, I have no idea what those are. But I wish I could tell them I did a job where people would go, oh, that's cool. And then that's it. That's the end of the conversation. Right. But I don't. That never happens to me. People say, well, you know, they go, oh, what do you do? Or my cousin, she was so nice. She was just saying, oh, my cousin Anthony, he does sports radio. And everyone wanted to know about this team or that team or what I thought about Kevin Durant. I mean, I ended up doing half the show at the party, which was great, but it was still, but I had a really good college football conversation with this guy that I met there, and it was really good, and it made me realize I'm really jazzed up for it. He's really high on Clemson. I think a lot of people are high on Clemson. Trying to avoid the Alabama's probably going to repeat, aren't they? Like, we're all trying to be like, nah, let's try to find something else, Michigan or somebody else other than Alabama to sort of pull for. I saw one where LSU, like the prediction is LSU and Clemson. I don't buy LSU until I can really see who their quarterback's going to be. Like, once I get a feeling like their quarterback will be decent, because Leonard Fournette can run, but they need another little trick. They need to be able to throw the ball a little bit. At LSU. And Les Miles, I reach a point where Les Miles, I don't really know.
Well, and that's, I was kind of talking about college football this past weekend as well, and we just kept talking about who's the quarterback, who are the quarterbacks going to be of these teams?
Yeah.
And, Ohio State will have Barrett. Clemson obviously has Deshaun Watson, but Michigan's still looking for theirs. They have a top-line defense, and everything else on the offense is good, but nobody knows who the quarterback's going to be. Bama, who will that be? There's just a lot of teams. It's who's the quarterback going to be?
You know, the one team I really like, but they lost too many really solid players. They lost three really, really impactful players. Is I really want to see what Hugh Freeze does at Ole Miss with Chad Kelly. But Laquon Treadwell is gone, and Kim Diche is gone, and Laramie Tunsil on the offensive line is gone. They've recruited really well, though, at Ole Miss. So I'm hoping that there might be some guys to step up. Remember, now, a lot of people forget this. Ole Miss was one crazy lateral away from playing for the SEC championship and thwarting out. Remember that old, that fourth and a million for Arkansas? And they had the Alex Collins had the lateral, that crazy pass, and he lateraled it back, and they got the touchdown, and they went overtime, and they won the game. They were one crazy play from knocking Alabama out of the SEC title game. That could have happened for them. But too much attrition there. So I'm looking forward to it. B-Money on Twitter. Recently, we called the season the year of the pitcher, now all hitting. I bet cheaters have found a way around testing for PED. Yeah, I would love to. I don't want to fall down that rabbit hole, but we are seeing incredible. We talked about this last week. We talked about it tonight. We're seeing incredible offensive numbers, and yet no one is raising an eyebrow on this. And it's, you know, and a lot of it is because Major League Baseball has done a good job of testing, but I hope that's not the case. Because we're not seeing, now correct me if I'm wrong here, but we're not seeing astronomical home run numbers. We're just seeing a lot of people have really good home run years.
Right, yeah, we're seeing...
Like, we don't have a 37 home run guy now.
No, the leader is Trumbo at 24, but we have, I think it's 18, 19, or 20 guys that are at 20 or more.
Right. I mean, I remember years where we had guys who had, like, 27 by the end of June.
Right.
You know, like, you're like, this is not... This is on pace for 60. We're not getting that, but... Yeah, you know, the numbers are really, the offensive numbers are really, really high. All right, Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.